third hour has begun here on American Journal. I just got a comment on X, although she deleted it, but it's still in my notification, so I'm going to read it. I'm sorry, Jen, if you deleted this for a reason, but she says, watching Harrison H. Smith laughing as an unmarried black woman who spends half the year in New York City for work who voted for Trump, truly saddened by how my demographic is so blatantly brainwashed, but glad that Trump won. You're the outlier, Jen, and we love you for it. And we love everybody. I mean, we love all the black people that voted for Democrats. We just wish they weren't so ideologically tied to a party that depends on their, you know, poverty. I mean, if the black community ever actually, you know, built themselves up and you know, broke free of the Democratic plantation, actually, you know, built small businesses and created families and, you know, fix some of that stuff, then the Democrats would have no one to exploit. So they need to keep you impoverished and desperate. I wish more people realized that. So again, as we talk about statistics and demographics, I made the point, but I should make it more clear. Like, yeah, you know, when you break it down by demographics, it was white people and Christians that voted majority Trump. But the percentage of minorities that were voting for Trump were absolutely necessary and vital to securing his election. So it's not a black and white thing. Well, no pun intended, but it's not a clear dividing line. And we do hope that more people can wake up and, you know, join us on this side. Seriously. So thank you for that, Jen. I appreciate it. And I'm glad you don't fall for the, you know, the Democratic strategy of just like, he's talking about a black woman. He hates all black women. It's like, no, I'm looking at statistics here. We're going to go out to your phone calls this hour. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. Some of you already called in, even though I haven't given out the number somehow. Don't know how you pulled that off, but I'll go ahead and give it out now. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Somebody else on X. Regarding Baron Trump, we need to start calling him Baron the Great, like Peter the Great of Russia. He'll earn that. He'll earn that title. You don't just hand out titles like that. Kind of like, hey, you have to win a battle as a general to be called emperor. You can't just be bestowed that. You have to earn it. So he'll earn the title Baron the Great. He is a Baron the Tall for now because he's already earned that title. He's very much already earned that title. We're going to go out to calls in just a second. How long is this video? Hello. We can just get to it here. Let's go to clip number 22. This is the father-in-law of Tiffany Trump, who Trump has suggested might be the new ambassador to Lebanon. Let's watch.
What I tell them is we need a strong U.S. president to stop these wars, to put an end to these wars through peace.
How?
President Trump's doctrine is peace through strength, and his main aim and target is to achieve peace in the Middle East, lasting peace. Yes, it's very tough. From a humanitarian point of view, it's very, very sad. And even President Trump is very saddened, and he has expressed that he doesn't like to see any civilian death. And the civilian death we've seen on both sides, whether it's the Israeli or the Palestinian side, and definitely now in Lebanon, is extremely sad. On all sides, and he doesn't want to see any more civilian death. He wants these wars to be over. But for these wars to be over, of course, we have to work on peace. We have to work on a roadmap for peace. But first, whatever military targets they need to achieve, them very quickly. This cannot last for long and cannot take forever. And that's what he has been saying. And that's what he means by do it quickly or get the job done quickly. It's just finish those military targets that you have to do, achieve those, and let's move to peace, and let's move to rebuilding Gaza and rebuilding Lebanon. We want Gaza to be prosperous. We want the Palestinian people to be prosperous, to live in peace.
Look, I'm not going to say I told you so, but I absolutely did. Trump already making big moves to bring peace to the Middle East region, talking about appointing a Lebanese Christian as the ambassador to Lebanon. And Hamas is already calling for a ceasefire 24 hours after his election. Stay tuned. More on the other side.
I'm here to tell you, brother, Donald
Donald Trump's going to save this country and nothing's going to stop it.
Well, I've only lost 30. I've only lost 30-something pounds, 33, 40 pounds. I'm going down another 20 or 30, so I'll actually be in shape soon. I'm still not in shape.
Yeah. How are you, Alex, how are you doing that? Don't tell me eating right. I'm not going to buy that.
Well, I mean, I'm not taking Ozempic, if that's what you ask. I'm working
Saturday. Oh, no.
Nick is a big Ozempic fan.
I did it all. From the alexjonesstore.com with Ultimate Sea Moss, the ultimate seafood. That's why, right here. This is the Ozempic of vitamins, the superfood.
Of the ocean.
The Ozempic of the sea.
Yes. As it's the Ozempic of the sea. It's got the best iodine and all these weird minerals and vitamins that are only in the sea moss. And I am doing a plug here because, you know, we could be shut down. InfoWars is up for sale next Tuesday, forced by the court. But we'll continue on in the air one way or another, working with great folks.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Scratch that. What I just told you, crew, never mind. Cancel that. All right. Joe Biden is preparing to give a speech, and we'll go to that whenever it goes live. It'll probably be hilarious. But until then, I want to take some calls, and we have John from H-Town, Lebanon. John on the line, talk about the Middle East. Thank you for calling in, John. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Congratulations to America and the world on this glorious victory.
It's an amazing thing. It is absolutely an amazing thing. And the latest today was less than 24 hours after Trump gets elected. Hamas calls for an immediate end to the war. What do you think is behind this, John?
They are looking for someone who's going to negotiate in good faith. The truth is that Kamala and Bibi and Biden, they were never negotiating in good faith. It was always fake. We can just go back to that classic clip of Trump meeting with Bibi Netanyahu, and he had Bibi Netanyahu's mind blown. He had Bibi Netanyahu smirking in disbelief as Donald Trump pointed his finger at him and looked to the media and said he doesn't want to make a deal. And it's like that's the kind of pressure we need, where he's going to basically say it's going to be a deal that solves the root cause of the problem. If you look at the liberals' approach to this issue, if you look at Biden, they never address the root cause. That's because they obviously don't want the war to end. So Donald Trump has this comprehensive, holistic, to quote Kamala, approach on this, which is it's just negotiation. It's like you read The Art of the Deal and you'll see how he operates. Basically, his strategy back in his 2016 term was to put financial pressure on them to bring them to the negotiating table. That's kind of old news now, because there's no pressure needed anymore. There's no more need for like a threatening stick, so to speak. Everybody's ready for the carrot. Everybody's ready for peace. Everybody's ready for prosperity, ready to move on from the war. So he's actually coming into the situation at the perfect time, which is ripe for a deal, a comprehensive deal that includes the Iranians giving up their nuclear program in exchange, giving up their nuclear program and probably more than that, in exchange for lifting of sanctions, cessation of hostilities, and rebuilding of Gaza and Lebanon. So it's going to be everyone's seeking a comprehensive deal.
Yeah, and that is such good news. And the one thing I'm nervous about the Trump presidency is like, man, if he goes to war with Iran, I'm going to feel like an idiot, because I've been going to bat for him for a long time, saying he's the peace president.
That's funny.
But
I wouldn't worry about that. I wouldn't worry about that, because he's actually come out and explicitly said he's not even interested in supporting regime change in Iran, which is far less intensive, far less involving than actual American troops on the ground. He's not even willing to entertain regime change, which is bad news for all those descendants of Pahlavi, all those guys who were in the Iranian regime and ran away. Bad news for Patrick Ben-David, who desperately wants the United States to put Persian expats like him back in power, who ran away and took all the money with them. Sorry, guys. Donald Trump's not interested in overthrowing other governments and installing, former despots back into power. That's he's just not interested in that.
Yeah, he's obviously not interested in sending Americans to die, which is, you know, my big contention with this is that's what they want. That's been the plan for a while, to get Israel in so much trouble that America has to come in to rescue them. And, you know, by force, basically getting us into that conflict in a real way. But do you think it's because Hamas is scared? Or is it not the other direction where they go, ooh, we better have peace now, because when Trump gets in, he's going to really unleash them? Do you think that?
I don't think it has anything to do with that, because remember, the guy Sinwar, the leader of Hamas, he led a peaceful Gandhi-style march straight at the walls of their prison back in 2014. So he has exhausted every avenue to improve the situation of his people, despite what the warmongers tell you. He literally did a peaceful march. And then what happened? They just shot like 250 civilians point blank. I mean, it didn't do anything. Nobody cared. And so after he's obviously, as InfoWars listeners know, when peaceful resolution is, you know, all avenues of peaceful resolution are impossible, then you're going to make armed conflict inevitable. So this is just a return to civilization. We don't, you know, these guys want their rights of the Palestinians, just basic human rights. That's their goal. Right? So their goal is not war. And then people will say, oh, but isn't Hamas a terrorist organization that wants to kill all the Jews? Well, I think that what people say in their propaganda and then what people actually seek in real life are unrelated, right? Because the first sentence of the Likud party is from the river to the sea, Israeli sovereignty. So nobody calls them terrorists, right? And if you say from the river to the sea, actually, you're going to get in jail in certain countries. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have a lot of really bombastic rhetoric, but what are they actually asking for in the negotiations? They're not asking for anything crazy. They're just asking for their rights. Like literally basic human rights. That's what they're negotiating for. So I don't think it's a matter of being scared or not. I think it's a matter of they see that in Donald Trump, he understands that their requests or their even demands are not unreasonable. And actually, the Yemenis have said, if you want the United States economy to do better, why don't you end the war in Gaza? Because this is bad for the economy.
Yeah, it definitely is. And again, just from this article, at the same time, Trump has accused his Democratic rivals of seeking to spark a greater war in the Middle East, something he has vowed to avoid, saying they said he will start a war. I'm not going to start a war, Trump said early Wednesday. I'm going to stop wars. So again, I mean, for anybody who thought Trump was going to be some big warmonger and come out and go, we need to, I mean, he talks a big game. He panders to everybody. He says he's the best for Jews. He says he's best for Israel. He says he's best for blacks and Hispanics and whites. And he is, quite frankly. But people take that out of context and go, see, he's gonna give them even more weapons. Like, no, he wants peace. He'll sell them weapons if they want to buy them. But he's not gonna send our soldiers over there to expand that war even further.
Yeah, expanding the war is bad for Israel. Bibi Netanyahu or whatever dark forces are behind him, it's bad for Israel. So the Palestinians will just keep fighting indefinitely. The civilians will keep suffering. The civilians will keep dying, and Hamas is nowhere near done. Actually, Hamas, you know, runs very successful military organizations regularly. And then so many people are so mad at me for saying that. Oh, boo-hoo. Look at the facts. They're ambushing and blowing up tanks every day. So get real. Wake up. You think Donald Trump is got the smoke blown up, you know, like you guys? No. Donald Trump is going to look at the facts. The facts is Hamas has not been diminished. Hamas is still effectively fighting. And so where is this headed? What is the point of all this? Why, you know, all these people who just see red and just want to have vengeance upon Hamas, that's not realistic and that's bad for business. Where do they think this is headed? Israel has not defeated Hamas. Okay, Hamas is not even a formidable military opponent, not even impressive. They can't beat them. So they have zero chance of beating Hezbollah. Everyone knows that. And so what is the point of all this? And then they assassinate people in Iran. They kill everybody everywhere to trigger a bigger conflict. Iran has held back on a counterattack that is long overdue. The reason why is because everybody wants a comprehensive plan. The leader of Iran said, we will call off our attack if you stop killing people in Gaza. Mm-hmm. Yemen said, we'll call off our blockade of the Red Sea and pretty much the Suez Canal, one of the key shipping channels on the earth. They said, we'll call off the blockade on that if you stop killing people in Gaza. And then Lebanon said, if you stop killing people in Lebanon, we'll stop killing your soldiers. So again, Israel kills civilians in Lebanon. Hezbollah kills soldiers in Israel. So Hezbollah does not target civilians. Israel does target civilians. So the people who are just now waking up to the Middle East issue, they're not going to believe that Hezbollah is a terrorist. They're going to believe that Israel is a terrorist just because of what's happening in the news. Mm. So Donald Trump sees all of this. Donald Trump sees that Lebanese people are suffering in mass, in collective punishment, and an already failed state that has been under severe sanctions and siege and isolation. And they've volunteered to attempt to alleviate the suffering of the Gazans by taking some of the brunt of the wrath of the Israeli military onto the Lebanese population now. Donald Trump sees all of this. He sees what's happening. And Bibi Netanyahu, he called for Bibi Netanyahu to be impeached in the first week after October 7th. He got a lot of flack for that. If Bibi Netanyahu gets impeached, he's going straight to jail. Right. This guy only is avoiding jail because he's currently in a war and he's not allowing elections to be had. He's becoming more isolated, and there's like a civil war happening in Israel pretty much. I don't think Donald Trump sees any of this as positive. I mean, I don't know how any Israeli sees a civil war in Israel as a positive. You guys got to wake up. I mean, this is in no way is this good for Israel.
Right. Right. And again, as you talk about, and folks, you got to go follow John at Lebanon_John on X, because ever since October, ever since I've had the show, you've called in regularly to talk about the Middle East, but especially since October 7th, we sort of regularly had you call in and sort of break it down. And we've done, of course, Moonbase Live on Rumble, where we talk a lot about the Middle East. And frankly, I don't think there's anybody online in the world that has been more accurate than you about predictions as to how things would go. I mean, there's a lot of people on X with millions of followers, but they don't get everything right. They're wrong about half the time. And I think a lot of times they are either, you know, promoting sort of delusional things, you know, claiming that the side they're representing is stronger than they actually are and making claims based on that don't come true. But you've tend to had a very like clear headed view of what's going to happen. And it's kind of sad, but I mean, every day I see, you know, villages in Lebanon being bombed by Israel. And I just think back to, all right, last time Lebanon John was on the show, he was saying, look, they're going to bomb a bunch of Lebanese civilians. Lebanese people are going to die. It's unfortunate, but that's what we're used to. They're going to try to do incursions, but it's not going to work because Hezbollah's ground game is too strong. Like the incursions aren't going to work. It's just everything you've predicted has more or less come true. I mean, you're not a prophet or anything, but the logic that you lay out tends to come to fruition. Why do you think that is? Why do you think so many people can't understand the way the Middle East works so clearly?
That's a great question, and not to toot my own horn, but I'm very happy that I got I even got the month that Israel would invade Lebanon correct. I said it would start in September because the way there's so many reasons, man. There's basically remember you go back to Barbara Waters in 2020 interviewing the president of Syria, Assad, and they told Assad, you're isolated. You have no friends in the region. And he said, well, what about Lebanon? And she starts yelling, no Lebanon, no Lebanon. It's literally not allowed to be discussed. The Hezbollah issue, the Lebanese-Israeli conflict, the context of it, the history of it, any information of it, the failures of Israel, as JFK said in his famous speech, their failures are not publicized. So because of this media blackout, intentional media blackout on this specific issue. Everybody knows about the Palestinian issue and all that, but people don't really know about the Lebanese issue. The reason why is probably because the Lebanese issue is cut and dry with Israel. There's really no gray area. Mm-hmm. Israel is clearly violating. We have a UN resolution to make peace between Lebanon and Israel. It's called 1701, and that means everybody calm down and follow the law. It's very straightforward. Just follow the law. Stop both sides. Just follow the law. Well, since that resolution was made by the UN and everybody agreed to it, Israel has violated Lebanese sovereignty over 60,000 individual times. So you can't go to the Lebanese side and say, lay down your arms, everything will be all right. Mm. They're not going to believe that. And so Hezbollah said, we're only going to stop killing you guys if you guys stop killing us. But again, there's no parity there. Israel kills civilians. Hezbollah does not target Israeli civilians. Everyone will bring up maybe like one random case that's like questionable if it's real or not. No, it's not related. Over 2,500 women and children in Lebanon have been directly killed by Israel in the past like couple months. Again, you don't hear that on the news. You don't see the videos wailing and wah, 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 victims like the Palestinians. You don't see that, right? There's a media blackout. So I don't know why everyone's inaccurate. They just prefer to discuss the Palestinian-Israeli issue, which has a lot of gray area and has a lot of nuance and a lot of complication. And you get lost in the weeds and it's not cut and dry. The Lebanese-Israeli conflict is completely cut and dry. The Shiites of South Lebanon, who later formed Hezbollah in 1982, before there even was a Hezbollah, when Israel invaded South Lebanon against the United States recommendation, against the UN recommendation, clearly an invasion of a sovereign nation, when they did that, it's on video. The Shiites of South Lebanon went into the streets and greeted the Israeli army with flowers and jubilation. So you cannot claim that these guys have some kind of deep-rooted bias against Israel and Jews, and they just hate them, you know, de facto hate them for no reason. No, they literally love them at first, but then their true colors got revealed. So the Lebanese-Israeli conflict is cut and dry. It's black and white. That's why you guys aren't told about it. And then, of course, the Hezbollah's capabilities are diminished. And there was a huge war in 2006. 2006 wasn't that long ago. Pretty much all of us, except for a few of us, were definitely alive. And, it just wasn't on the news much, even though it was a huge operation for the United States Greater Israel Project. It was a huge deal, but people just aren't told about it. Mm-hmm. And in 2006, the most important thing about 2006 was infantry using state-of-the-art Russian anti-tank weaponry, the Kornet missile, guided anti-armor missile that's about the length of a forearm, could defeat the world's greatest tank army in the world. The world's most advanced and heavily armored tanks in the world are defeated by villagers with a guided missile the length of their forearm. This changed military equations forever. And it's the same thing is happening now. Just yesterday, Hezbollah struck multiple military factories that repair their military equipment in Israel with big ballistic missiles. In order to launch these ballistic missiles, they have to come out of these tunnels and caves, and Israel is constantly trying to figure out where these missiles are coming from so they can hit them with bunker busters. So all of a sudden, with no precedent, Hezbollah fired 6 guided anti-air rockets that home in on any jet in the sky. 6 of them out of nowhere. Nobody even knew Hezbollah had them. Of course, I knew. Of course, I knew they had them. But for some reason, the world's experts were totally caught off guard. And these 6 missiles go up in the air. The Israeli jets run for their lives like, whoa, this never happened before. And then they fired these ballistic missiles. So Israel never saw the holes that these ballistic missiles came out of. You see, Hezbollah is now, again, using cutting-edge technology that nobody has ever seen in combat before. This is F-15, F-16, F-18, or F-35 that is now being chased by homing missiles that have never been fired against them before. So the Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, the Iranians, and the Syrians will happily give weapons to Hezbollah for free, because Hezbollah in Lebanon now is the cutting edge of military technology. So you got to ask yourself, why would no one report on that? How come no one talks about that? You see, it's kind of weird.
That is very interesting. Now, we're sort of running out of time here, but I do want to ask you about Tiffany Trump's father-in-law, who we just played a video of talking about his conversation with Trump, that Trump just wants peace. He just wants a deal. He wants this all to end. The rumor is that he may be appointed to replace what's the guy's name?
Amos Hochstein. Yes. Amos Hochstein.
Yeah. Hochstein is a Israeli-born IDF veteran who apparently represents America in the conversations with Lebanon. He's the Lebanese ambassador, but he...
Yeah, so if there was any dispute or any confusion that Israel ran the United States foreign policy, when it came to the Lebanon issue, the mask was off. Biden's administration just gave the file over to a veteran of Israeli invasion itself. He himself participated in the invasion of Lebanon. They gave that guy just the entire file on representing American interests in its dealings with Lebanon. Now, why is that? Because they got rid of the dog and pony show and the rigmarole of having a normal American, like, let's say, Anglo-Saxon guy. He goes and acts like he's representing the United States, and then he has to run his decisions by Israeli dual citizens anyway in the end. So just cut out the middleman and just put an Israeli guy in charge of it in the first place. Now, what would be normal or reversion to the mean would be, you know, put an American guy who is unbiased, neutral, doesn't have a preference one way or the other to represent the United States in the negotiations with Israel. But no, Donald Trump didn't do that. He went way beyond that. And he's literally putting a Lebanese guy to represent the United States interest in its relationship with negotiations between Israel and Lebanon. So now the Israeli government will have to sit across the table from the Lebanese government. And then the third party mediator on their right hand side, which is the United States, is going to be another Lebanese guy. So all those claims of him being, you know, the Zion Dawn, they seem really stupid right now.
Absolutely incredible, folks. I'm telling you, for the last year and more, since October 7th, 2023, Lebanon John has nailed the hammered the nail on the head every single time and has been able to predict stuff with far, far more accuracy than almost any expert that you see on mainstream media or on Twitter or anywhere else. You got to follow him at Lebanon_John on X. And we, of course, do Moonbase Live together where we talk about all of this stuff on Rumble. So follow him and learn something, learn a thing or two. Thank you so much for the call, John. I do understand Biden is now going live. So we do want to go to that here for the next 3 minutes of this segment. I'm sorry to everybody who's on hold. We'll get to you as soon as possible. But is Biden speaking right now or is he getting ready? He's live. America's all right. Let's hear Biden.
The greatest experiment in self-government in the history of the world. And that's not hyperbole. That's a fact. We're the people. The people vote and choose their own leaders, and they do it peacefully. And we're in a democracy. The will of the people always prevails.
That sounds good.
Yesterday, I spoke with President-elect Trump to congratulate him on his victory. And I assured him that I'd direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition. That's what the American people deserve. Yesterday, I also spoke with Vice President Harris. She's been a partner and a public servant. She ran an inspiring campaign, and everyone got to see something that I learned early on to respect so much, her character. She's a backbone like a ramrod. She has great character.
I like Biden character. More and more every day.
She gave her whole heart and effort, and she and her entire team should be proud of the campaign they ran.
You're fired.
You know, the struggle for the soul of America since our very founding has always been an ongoing debate and still vital today. I know for some people, it's a time for victory, to state the obvious. For others, it's a time of loss. Campaigns are contests of competing visions.
Oh, my God.
The country chooses
doing right now,
one
right?
Or the other.
You get what Trump is, or you get what Biden's doing.
Accept the choice the country made.
He's just mogging on everybody.
Many times.
He's just
can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor.
He's being the unifier. He's the unifier in chief here at this late hour.
Something I hope we can do, no matter who you voted for, is see each other not as adversaries, but as fellow Americans.
Down the temperature. The process.
I also hope we can lay
to
rest
this attitude the whole time. We wouldn't hate you so much, dude.
The American electoral system. It is honest, it is fair, and it is transparent. And it can be trusted, win or lose.
That's amazing. All right, so you'll see what he's doing here, right? You'll see what he's doing.
All our election workers who busted their necks and took risks.
This is totally narcissism. This is totally him just being like, I'm going to go out there and prove they should have never dropped me. That's all he's doing.
Counting the votes. Protecting the very integrity of the election.
If he had acted this way for his whole presidency, we wouldn't have a problem with him. But it's a little inconsistent when you go, you know, everybody accounts when, you know, last month you were saying everyone who's MAGA is garbage and, you know, domestic terrorists. So it's a lie. It's a scam. But he's a good politician. He's good at putting the case across. Better than Kamala, that's for sure. That's all he's doing here. That's all he's doing is he's rubbing it in their faces. They threw him to the curb like a sack of trash. And he is now, I mean, they pumped him full of something. That was more clear than I've heard him speak in years. So he's just up there going, yeah, you could have had me. And maybe we would have won. The old coot. We'll be right back with your calls and talk about the house race that's being stolen right now.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you know that the pesticides that are in our food and in our water destroy natural gut health, not to mention all the chlorine and chemicals in the tap water that then also gets into the crops and the food. It's just all around us. So the globalists have been doing this by design. Bill Gates is basically investing billions of dollars in trying to manipulate the guts of people with so-called mRNA vaccines. It's insane. But all the research is just overwhelming that happy gut means happy, healthy body. We now have the ultimate gut combo with the ultimate probiotic with 60 billion, super high quality, with this baby, Ultimate Gut Cleanse. Now,
These are both private labeled, some of the top brands in the country. Our sponsors had to make it a little bit stronger, so it's proprietary. And the probiotic's very exciting and just a foundational thing that everybody should be doing. This is amazing. It's not just a gut cleanse. In fact, we may rename it down the road to gut cleanse, detox, anti-parasite, pro-prostate. Because it's concentrated, it's super strong, and it's got the gut cleanse, it's got the anti-parasite, it's got the saw palmetto for not just your prostate. It's good for all your glands. But even the government's admitted for decades, saw palmetto is insane. Look it up. So this is beyond a gut cleanse. It's got the trifecta going. I don't have time to read to you all of the amazing ingredients in this, but you can get Ultimate Gut Cleanse for 30 to 50% off, depending on how many bottles you get. And you can get Ultimate Probiotic for 30 to 50% off, depending on how many bottles you get. Or you can get both together in the Ultimate Combo for 50% off as an introductory offer right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And it's going to keep the broadcast on the air. That's a win-win. Please take action. Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right, so this is why
they've
central
got so many quadrillions of fake money. There's not there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver historically the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs. Silver does better than gold, so silver grows faster, and there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
No, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot of calls to go to. I'm going to go first to Joshua in Georgia. This is a topic that I've mentioned a few times, but I'm glad you called in about Joshua, how they're attempting to steal the House right now. I mean, this is massively important. It's a very big difference having the Senate, Congress, and presidency in a single party. If just one of them is in the control of another party, it can really be a gigantic barrier to getting things implemented. Joshua, what are they doing in regards to the House elections right now?
Well, good morning, Mr. Smith. Good morning. Before I throw the black pill grenade, I want to throw out a little happy what if. I would like to put a call out to Elon Musk on January 21st, 8 a.m., to go and kick in the door of the Department of Squirrel Murderers, fire everybody in there. On their way out of the door, hand them all a $750 severance loan. That would be epic, wouldn't it?
I like it. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity for some massive trolling come January 21st. Yes, sir.
Hashtag avenge peanut. So anyway, something, you know, everybody's talking about, well, they want to steal the House to throw a monkey wrench in the whole deal. But I see it a different way, and I hate to do this, but Sun Tzu says, you know your enemy as you know yourself. In 1,000 battles, you'll know victory. We got to stay vigilant and on point and our mind on the prize. If they steal the house, it's not just a little bit of obstruction, but they also have the speaker who is third in line, and all they got to do is wait for a time when Trump and Vance are together, double tap them, and boom, they got their presidency because they knew they couldn't steal for Kamala. So they could do the minor steal of a couple little house seats here and there to tip the edge. And I hope Laura Trump and her team are on this because this going to protect her daddy-in-law. I mean.
Seriously. No, that's great. That is very strategic thinking. I think you're exactly right. I think, but I hadn't considered that. But wow, yeah, that's a very big implication. Now, the House is still on track to go GOP. According to this article, AP News, House control has enormous implications for Trump agenda. If Johnson's slim four-seat majority were to shrink any further, governing could come to a standstill. And as you point out, if it actually flips to the Democrats, that's really not good. I mean, how are these races going? Do you know, have you been keeping up with exactly where this trajectory is? Because everything I've seen, the Republicans are pretty confident that they are going to retain the House. Do you have any different news than that?
All I know, last I heard anything definitive was Owen yesterday on, on Alex's show at the beginning where he talked about how it's a couple hundred vote margin in some places and they're still counting. Wow. And I wonder if Owen or somebody could put up a chart. Okay, you got because the down ballot vote could not have gone this badly. We win four Senate seats. Look at those states first the House races that are tight or were inexplicably lost, look at the down ballot and see, where we won Senate seats, the four states, mm-hmm. right? Go into the districts where the House seats flip blue and then look at the voting record of, okay, like say it's like 70-80% Trump, 70-80% Senate, but they still lost the House seat. That's shenanigans. Yep. You know, that's kind of obvious and a good place to start. And we get 10 of those seats back. You know, then we're solid. Then we're good to go. Like you said, four seats is three seats is oh wow. But at least we still have a speaker.
Wow. Well, hopefully they're on that. But yeah, it is those bizarre occurrences. Now the Senate typically is you know they'll get carried on the coattails, right? Because it's also a statewide race, just like the presidency is. With the congressional districts, that's district by district, so it's not going to always reflect how the state voted, but it's still worth it to go in and look and see if there's any incompatibility like that where a district votes fully Republican, but somehow the Democrat congressman wins. I mean, that happens, and it's very suspicious. A final thought, Joshua?
Yeah, that's what I meant. You go yes. into the districts, not right. the whole state, but like, okay, but focus on the four states that Trump dragged the to put it any other way, the Republican senator with him, but they lost the Democrat in that district. And especially if it's like some little county in West Virginia, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
Because we had, I don't know if you saw the video of that poll worker. I don't know if she was an election supervisor in Georgia who had the cameras in her office showing how you could scan a Dominion ballot and physically change the vote right there on the screen and save it. So if they have to say, do they have to save the paper ballots out of the Dominion machine? Oh, by the way, I'm the one that called and said I was going to be a poll worker in Georgia, a poll watcher in Georgia, and I did that. And all the paper ballots are there, so they should still have them after the election to do a recount. And it should be no big deal to do a recount, right? I don't know.
I'm not so sure either. I mean, some recounts are triggered automatically if the difference really is just 100 votes or whatever. And look, it just shows you how important the get out to vote process is and paying attention to those local elections, paying attention to the congressional elections. It's worth a whole lot less to win the presidency if you don't have the forces in office to back him up in both chambers. Thank you so much for the call, Josh. Pedro in Michigan, I think also wants to talk about this on line 10. Pedro. Hold on 1 second. I don't know why. Okay, Pedro, now you're on air. Go ahead.
Hello, Harrison. Just want to say long live InfoWars, and I'm going to keep this short. We won, but the system is still in place. And we overwhelmed Trump across the line, but They're playing the game with the down ballot races. And you can look at 2018, 20, 22, and now, and it's the same thing with the down ballot races.
What's happening with the down ballot races?
Well, they're, you know, doing their little shenanigans, trying to...
Same thing we were talking about before, yeah.
Yeah, same thing, yeah. And the system is still in place. We never took that system down.
Well, I know, I mean, they've done quite a bit. I mean, they did stop the steal this time, so we can celebrate that. But yeah, you got to give it to the Democrats. They know how to launch attacks on every front and force you to deal with it. So, you know, clearly they understand what a big deal control of the House is, and they're doing everything they can to keep it in their own hands. We have to keep an eye out for it. For sure.
Yeah.
I'll try to find some of the latest information about this as we continue to go to calls. But there's another story. Thank you very much for the call, Pedro. I appreciate that. Let's go to Zach in South Carolina. I have the story here, Zach. Tiny South Carolina town residents lock down homes after 40 monkeys escape bio research lab. Okay, Zach, is this a real story, or are we in a zombie apocalypse movie of some sort? Is this an episode of The Simpsons? What is happening, Zach?
All right, so let me go ahead and start with this. I don't want to take up the rest of your show because this could very well end up being a long call.
Uh-oh.
Okay, but if I'd be glad to go ahead and get started with you here. So here's what I've got. Let me set a stage for you. These monkeys came over in 1979, were put on Morgan Island Research Center, okay? The monkeys are owned by NIH through NIAID, which is, you know...
We're familiar with that, for sure, yeah.
Right, so monkeys are all owned by NIAID, and the land is owned by SCDNR. Congresswoman... Let's see... Nancy Mace has had, there's two different articles that I found where back in 2021, she was asking the NIH for more transparency on what they're doing with these monkeys. And it looks like from this article that I'm reading, the spokesperson said that some of the examples of experiments that we've been able to find out about involved injecting rhesus monkeys with MERS, M-E-R-S, with Ebola, tuberculosis, for example. You can read some of the other articles that are out there. I can't look at the pictures because they are so gruesome, said the person who was talking to Nancy Mace from NIH. So what we've got is a monkey island with about 4,000 monkeys in a colony. There's a company called Alpha Genesis.
Research facility, yeah.
Yeah, research facility there in Yemisi, South Carolina. And apparently they're running these monkeys back and forth because I've got somebody inside, and of course you probably see it in the news story there. 40 monkeys got out on the way to the research center, the Alpha Genesis Research Center, from the monkey island. 40 of these monkeys got out before before they were vaccinated or even tested for what they had. And as of this morning, they've caught 0 monkeys. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what this is making me think? This is a wonderful argument for the Second Amendment. I mean, if I'm going to have 40 diseased monkeys running around, I'm going to want to have a gun to keep them away from me.
No doubt. But here's the thing is, you know, ABC has picked this up, and seems like NBC picked it up pretty quickly, too. I mean, really, there's not a whole lot of news out there about what's actually happening, but, you know, I know somebody who's about to go to work there, and what they've been saying is that, you know, somebody who went and picked the monkeys up and drove them to the Alpha Genesis Center just accidentally left the door open, and before they were even impounded into the area to get checked out, they got out. So I don't know what that's going to lead to down here in South Carolina, but just...
Yeah, it's just crazy. I mean,
it's because I feel like y'all probably have a pretty good channel to RFK. I think this is probably something we should look into, seeing as the NIH owns these monkeys. And apparently, from the articles that I've read, they're not supposed to be doing any more testing on these monkeys, but they're obviously moving them back and forth between the island and the research center.
That's interesting. Yep. And everything about this, I mean, literally, it sounds like a Hollywood script. Even the name of the facility, Alpha Genesis Facility. and they've got all these monkeys, and apparently the monkeys are just constantly escaping. I mean, I guess it makes sense. I guess you're going to have more, you know, monkeys escaping than rats or, you know, any other animal because, you know, they're smarter and you know, more dexterous. But apparently they're just getting out all the time. It was not clear how the monkeys escaped, but three primates escaped in 2022 after a road accident. I remember reporting on that. Several monkeys also escaped this past May. So every couple of months, I guess, the people in this city are put in lockdown while the monkeys are rounded up. And then they just get out again. Totally crazy. It's residents of Yamassee, a town of 1,000, less than 50 miles west of Charleston. They've been told to lock their doors and windows to prevent the potentially disease-ridden primates from entering their homes. One person on X, formerly Twitter, said, quote, "The monkeys escape from Yamassee every year. That blank happens every year. The workers forget to lock up the cages and they go crazy." Insane. So police have now deployed traps and thermal cameras in an attempt to apprehend the escaped primates. They work with macaque and capuchin monkeys. 40 monkeys have escaped that research facility. None of them have been found. Residents are being told to stay indoors, call 911, and refrain from approaching them if you see them. They house more than 6,000 monkeys at any given time, which are used in clinical research. They were fined $12,000 in June 2018 by the federal government over six violations, four of which involved escapes from the facility. The first occasion was in 2014 when 26 monkeys escaped and were found on the loose for 48 hours and were on the loose for 48 hours. Just a week later, a single monkey escaped and was never found. I hope he's doing all right. Hope he's doing all right out there somewhere. And look, I want to laugh. Like, obviously, there's something intrinsically kind of funny about this, that like a town is going on lockdown because a bunch of monkeys are running around. But I don't want to be laughing if this is like the actual beginning to an actual dystopian. I mean, who knows? If they've been infected with Ebola, it's not actually a joke. This could be the beginning of a very extreme epidemic, but I'm hoping not. And it does apparently happen every couple of months. So frankly, I'm on the side of the monkeys in this. I don't know about you folks, but free the monkeys. I want the monkeys to be free. And so you know what? It's their town now. I'm not going to make a joke. I'm not going to make the joke about sending them to Springfield because that would be wrong. Let's go to Mark in California now. So that's the story. I don't know what else to tell you. 40 monkeys on the loose run around. So, you know, carry a gun. I guess just carry a gun. Better to kill a monkey than get Ebola. Mark in California, thanks for calling in. You want to talk about the demographic change taking place in America? Go ahead. Mark in California, are you there? All right. Let's go to Will in California. Will, thank you for calling in from the great state of California. You're on the air.
Hey there, Harrison. Good morning. Yeah. And just the personnel is policy struck me the other day. We need more Barron and less Jared. We need more Vivek. We need less Mayorkas. We need more RFK Jr. and Tulsi and less Mike Pompeo. I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know about you, about the transition team. You know, Trump's inner circle obviously doesn't want him doing all of the hiring. So they got him to disavow all of Project 2025, right? You know, Trump's team now does the hiring with Howard Lutnick and Jared Kushner's involved again. We got Susie Wiles and Chris Lazzavito, along with the elite donors, are seemingly quite a bit in control. They're talking about Brooke Rollins for chief of staff. Nikki Haley's involved. Mike Pompeo are still being considered. Does Trump's Praetorian Guard have too much control? Everything seems more establishment and Israel first to me. What do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting way of putting it, as Praetorian Guard running things. I don't think so. I mean, there's always rumors of this and always goes back and forth. We'll have to wait and see. Luckily, there is a big push, and I encourage it, and I encourage everybody to be involved in this. You know, Trump has made pretty significant overtures to the Libertarian Party during the campaign. They supported him to a very large degree. Angela McArdle did some of that. In fact, we should try to get her on the show again. She lives here in Austin. And she's done a great job of actually getting, you know, libertarian concerns, you know, in front of the now elected president-elect. And so Ron Paul and all of these others are clearly advising Trump, keep Pompeo out. I was frankly surprised that he is being so chummy with Pompeo, considering some of the things Pompeo said about Trump when he was running against him ahead of the 2024 election. So I don't know. I don't know. I think we're going to have to kind of wait to see how it plays out, because there's also rumors, I don't know if you've seen these, Will, of the fact that Trump is actually in contact with and talking to the authors of Project 2025. I'm blanking on his name right now. Is it Ehrlich or something like that? I'm totally blanking on his name. But, you know, they're apparently talking together. And so, you know, he disavowed Project 2025, but the people who put that together do seem to have some influence on his transition campaign. I'm with you that, you know, if he puts in the same people, I mean, then what has all of this been for? That can't be the case. And Pompeo seems to be the central figure in that. What do you think we should do about this? I mean, what do you think we need to get to Trump in order to, you know, convince him not to fall for this crap again?
Well, there were a lot of good things, Harrison, about Project 2025. There were some bad things that Trump wanted to disavow. But the best thing about it, I don't know what you think, but it seems to me they did a lot of vetting. They had some thousands of people that were vetted America First candidates. And I'm just worried about the people surrounding Trump, you know, the World Economic Forum issues with Susie Wiles and her representation of Mercury Consulting, et cetera. I just worry that they've got him picking people that they want. And I just hope he stands his ground. And I'm glad that he's got the second half of his 4 years where he doesn't have to worry about reelection and can just go about his own man, you know, his own pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is a very good point. And of course, you know, the likes of Mitch McConnell and others are not going to be, you know, doing this as much. So, well, we'll have to just wait and see. I think I really don't know what his plans are in that regard. And there's arguments to make on both sides, but you know, I think Pompeo is getting a lot of the heat right now and deserves it. And hopefully, Trump can be listening to all of his new libertarian friends like Ron Paul and Angela McArdle and all these people that know what Pompeo is really all about and why he needs to be kept away from power in the second presidency of Donald Trump. So we'll just have to wait and see, but I appreciate your concern, and we'll keep an eye on that and hopefully do whatever we can to influence him away from the Praetorian Guard, as you put it. Thank you for the call, Will. Let's go to Kurt in Indiana. Kurt in Indiana, you are on the air.
Good morning, Harrison.
Good morning.
Ivan Reichlin and Alex Jones for Attorney General's office.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, let's go there first. And what I wanted to bring up is nobody's pointed out that the very same judges that denied any evidence of any fraud ever being presented as evidence, they're still sitting on the bench.
Hmm.
And I think that is going to be the big one right there. They can't do anything. I guarantee you that while they're stalling the election results in all these other these two states and in the other ones that haven't been certified yet, as soon as they get certified, then they'll have standing in order to bring paper. And I guarantee they're using this time to draft paper right now.
I hope so. We got to do something.
Oh, no, they're going to try to decertify.
Oh, you think they're drafting papers? Sorry, I misheard
you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're drafting papers. They're going to try to interfere with the election after the fact, after it's been certified.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They have to wait until the certification happens first. And that's what we need to be watching.
I don't know. I mean, we can't underestimate our opponents. I'm tempted
exactly.
to underestimate them, but we can't underestimate them. Personally, I'm just like, are you not exhausted? Can you not just chill for 4 years? And this is the thing. It's not like they make all this effort and then it succeeds. I mean, like we were talking about in the beginning of the show and the video we showed about, you know, comparing what a 2020 victory would have looked like with Trump being hamstrung and having Pence and all this stuff. So it's like all right, you guys are going to do this again. You're going to go out of your way. You're going to destroy your own credibility. You're going to waste all of our time. And then, like, it's just going to make everything worse for you after all anyway. So just, like, why don't you just stop? Why don't they just stop? I don't know. I don't know why they don't. They're terrible people. That's why. Thank you for the call, Kurt. I also want to mention just here at the end of the show, a big congratulations to Shelley Luther, former Dallas salon owner who was jailed for COVID-19. She has won her election for House District 62. So congratulations to Shelley Luther, political prisoner who defied the illegal lockdown measures to keep her hair salon open in Dallas, became a celebrity, and has now turned that celebrity into real political power as she has become a representative in the state of Texas. So congratulations to friend of the show, Shelley Luther, and shows you once again that tenacity and endurance and stick-to-itiveness will win in the end. Let's go to one more call here. I think we have time for one more call. Let's go to Aaron in Louisiana. Aaron, thank you so much for calling from Louisiana. You're on the air, sir.
Hey, Harrison. Yeah, I just wanted to, I was just thinking about, you know, the phrase, it has to get better before, or it has to get worse before it gets better, or it's always darkest before the dawn. And looking at what Trump's second term would have been had he won in 2020 versus now, and what we're set up for. I mean, it allowed the progressives to show their hand, to do all the craziness with, you know, the transgender stuff and the climate change and everything else. And now I think the pendulum is swinging back towards libertarianism, actually. And you look at, you know, now you got Elon Musk in the fight, which you didn't have then. He didn't have Twitter. Alex Jones was still being muzzled. He was still kicked off of Twitter. Now you've got Tucker Carlson, free to speak his mind. He's out from under Fox. We've got RFK Jr. on our side, which we wouldn't have had then. We've got Tulsi Gabbard on our side, which we wouldn't have had then.
It's like it had to be this way.
Exactly. I mean, it's so much better. Like 2028 or whatever the time after Trump is going to be so much better now that we went through this, because, you know, look who's on the bench now. If he would have won, we could have possibly just had Mike Pence as the Republican nominee.
Right.
I mean, think about that.
You're exactly right. I'm sorry. We're coming to the end of the show. So I got to say goodbye. Thank you to all of our callers. Thank you to everybody for supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com. God works in mysterious ways, and I'm telling you, something miraculous is happening right now. It had to be this way, and it turns out all of the suffering that we've gone through all had a purpose, and it was because a better future lay ahead. Stay with us, folks. The Alex Jones Show, 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
Wear a Trump t-shirt. Put a sign on the lawn. Wear a MAGA hat, you know? And then if people confront you, say, yeah, that's right.
Elon Musk is absolutely right. We need to show our support for President Trump as a champion against the globalists, as the champion, by wearing his shirts out in public and not being ashamed. Because the majority of Americans, the numbers show, support Trump, but they're still scared to say it. You will meet so many like-minded people when you wear President Trump shirts. We've got some great ones at thealexjonesstore.com. But InfoWars shirts are recognized by patriots and tyrants alike as the symbol of the resistance, old school, true rebels, true mavericks against tyranny. Now, when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, there's amazing hoodies, ball caps, new designs getting added every few days, amazing t-shirts. But two of the shirts are marked up a little more than $25, $30 or so, so that you can really know you helped fundraise. And it's the classic InfoWars red on navy blue, and it is the Punisher shirt right here that everybody really loves. Because it's true, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God, 1776. So both of these shirts are our bestsellers. I want to thank those of you that have supported. And I want to encourage those of you that haven't supported to get them both, thealexjonesstore.com, right now at this critical time. InfoWars can be shut down in just 21 days as the time I'm taping this, but your support of our sponsor will keep me on the air one way or another. But it takes funds to get all that set up, and it's happening right now. So now's the time of action. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and get both these amazing shirts.
Again, the Rebellion to Tyrants is Obedience to God's Shirt is one of the special fundraisers, and so is this classic InfoWars. Notice this is an XXL. It's baggy now. In just the last few months, I've been taking the Ultimate Sea Moss, and it's helped me lose all this weight. Find that as well and help keep us on air one way or another at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support.